B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, February 13th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll sit down with Alex Varga, event coordinator for the upcoming Frostbite 2019. Plus, in honor of Black History Month, we asked our social media followers who their favorite Black esports or gaming personality is. Those discussions are ahead today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with Overwatch League. We know that by the time many of you hear this, Season 2 of OWL will have gotten underway. But last week, we had Norris out at the Overwatch League's Media Day, and he's brought back some exclusive audio. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving this payload.
Norris Howard.
What up, though?
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look.
Yeah, man. And so... out at the Insider Preview, I had a really great time. Got
is that what they called it?
They called it the Insider Preview?
It wasn't Media Day?
No, it was
Insider Preview.
You're an Insider? We have an Insider on the cast?
That's right.
Finally. The one thing we needed to get PR agencies interested in our product
was to have
insiders.
That's right.
But it really was cool. We got a chance to talk to a lot of the teams. Almost all of the teams, but I got interviews with a ton of them. One of them definitely was a team coming out of California, San Francisco Shock, that has a lot of expectations behind it.
I have to also apologize to you, Norris, because when you put these guys in your power rankings, I kind of shot you down. And when all of the casters and analysts have now put out their stuff, they all have the Shock up.
Really?
It's almost like I know what I'm talking about.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but okay.
Who's the insider?
Fair. All right.
Okay. Well, all right. Yeah, that's fair.
Put me in my place.
Jeez. Either way, I got a chance to sit down and talk with Sinatra of the San Francisco Shock and sort of talk about those expectations being maybe the top team in California.
I personally don't like having all the hype around, you know, because it just puts a lot of expectation on you, even though we should have expectations, obviously, to be the best, but... now, like, if we screw up or anything, like, one little thing that everyone's going to, you know, just bag on you for it.
he didn't want to say bag on you.
That's not what he was trying to say.
No, not at all. But the FCC wouldn't let him say what he wanted to say. But, no, I think that this is really interesting because it gives you a look into some of the... And listen, the OWL audience is one that has tons of expectations, whether it's from the game itself, whether it's from the teams, or whether it's from the players. Well, and that's got to be some extreme pressure that they're under.
And specifically in California, where sort of everything is based right now until the teams go off in the next season or so to their home bases in their individual cities or states. But, you know, looking at the landscape of California, you've got two teams in LA, and then you have the San Francisco Shock, and they were sort of the stepchildren of California last season.
Just call them the redheaded stepchild?
They were. All right.
And they didn't, let's be fair, they didn't have the best season either.
Exactly.
And you have almost twice as many teams that you're potentially going up against and vying for those top spots this season as well.
Right.
And I mean, to Sinatra's point, though, you don't get to have it both ways. Either you get people's respect and you're on their radar and that comes with more expectation, or you have no expectation because nobody cares about you.
Well, and that's a funny thing, because speaking of expectation, I also got a chance to sit down with the runners up from last season, the Philadelphia Fusion.
Heck yeah.
And, you know, talking about why they should be number two technically on everybody's list. They are not. They're not even number two on my list. And so I asked them about that as well and say, you know, why aren't people sort of on the watch out for you guys, considering how far you ended up at the end of season one? And I got to speak with their off-tank Poco about why Philly isn't necessarily in the top rankings for season two?
I guess it's because we didn't have any new player this season, so people are not expecting us to improve, but we did, and we're going to show them that we can do better than last year.
Ooh, I like that. I like that big talk from the runners-up.
I mean, because better than last year means champions. So.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I actually have a lot of high hopes for them because, you know, when you look at the diversity of their squad, you know, there was a lot of native languages in there, and there's a lot of interviews going around, too, where various players admit that when they would start to break down or when things weren't going their way, the entire team would basically kind of just shut up and just fall apart at that point. And to know that they've now developed more of like a team cohesion, I'm expecting a lot out of them.
And I get what he's saying, too. I mean, you're right. We didn't make a lot of changes to the team because, hey, we took second place last year. We were the runners up. We don't need to improve our team that much.
Well, but at the same time, I still think that there were some changes maybe that they needed to make in, you know, some of the off-tank positions, not necessarily with Poco because he did absolutely great. But, you know, they had some gaps that I think they could have filled, and maybe that's not why people have them at the time.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports 1350 AM in Riverside, San Bernardino, as well as the Mighty 1090 in San Diego. We're currently talking about Overwatch Season 2. It's underway. We're so excited to have Overwatch back on streams.
Oh, and, you're telling me.
I mean, it's going to be coming to televisions, too. But what about some of these new teams? We've got, with this second season, we've got this new injection of talent coming in.
Yeah, and so one of the big new teams is the Paris Eternal that I got a chance to talk to their head coach, Demon, on why they actually decided to be an all-European team, which is quite strange in the landscape of Overwatch.
I think obviously going with like the Paris team, showing to the world all Europe is like underestimating and there's like so much talent, which just was like, let's pick like a lot of talents and make a team. And right now, going for like 2 months of training, we feel like a team. We feel like we're prepared, and we feel like we have talents on our hands. So,
first of all, this is the most French team ever.
that was a very French response.
All right, they are so French. But the thing is that they've got players from all over Europe, and I have them sort of middle of the road right now. This is a team where I hope they prove me wrong.
Well, it's hard to kind of predict. Like you say, they're pulling talents from all over Europe, which, I mean, for us in the States, we don't get to see a ton of Europe's talent.
Right.
We get to see them maybe, you know, at the World Cup, but that's kind of it.
And contenders a little bit, but most people want to follow Korea's contenders, maybe U.S. contenders, stuff like that. But I just feel like Paris is a team that's loaded with a lot of talent, but they could go either way. They're a team that could, you know, get off to a poor start and slip back really far, or they could get on a nice early run and rise really high. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where Paris ends up.
I want to see where Toronto ends up in the pack, man. That's a team that I'm really
All
excited
Korean
by.
Team.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Vancouver.
So there were headlines going right up to the start of season two about some various team changes and some acquisitions. An old familiar face rejoins contenders.
Yeah,
oh, no.
So everybody's favorite off-tank XQC has now joined the LA Gladiators contenders team.
How?
First of all,
how does that happen?
Hold on, you need to get the full scope of this because he's joining as the tank
backup
sub. How do you go from being main tank for one of the premier leagues in the inaugural season to being a sub tank on a contender?
Well, because you'd be a trash ball. That's why,
and it has nothing to do with his performance. It has everything to do with his attitude and his ability to be a team player. But I'm just shocked that he's been given a road back to the OWL. That to me is mind-boggling.
Well, it's something we see in traditional sports all the time. Kareem Hunt just got signed to the Cleveland Browns.
That's right.
Because he can play.
Bob Probert had a career for years in Detroit.
And that's the thing, is at the end of the day, if you can play and your team's winning, no one's going to have anything to say about the moral compass of
your
players.
But I mean, XQC is not a bully on the field. He's a bully off the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
It is.
And and to me, that has a deeper, you know, like a deeper you know, issue with the player. And I don't know, if I was a Glads fan, I would be very concerned about that.
And another late breaking story was the main tank for the Boston Uprising, Gamsu,
and team leader
was traded to Shanghai.
Someone needs to explain this to me. Well, I do not understand this.
Here's the main thing, is that while Gamsu was very, very effective, I think Boston sees more of a future in Fusions, who they did call up, by the way. He's from the UK, performed incredibly well in the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this was sort of a benefit for Shanghai.
Young. He's so young. Fusions is a very young
he's
kid.
Incredibly
well,
young.
He's not going to be able to come in and fill that team leader position.
I don't know. I don't know.
Not the team leader position, but obviously Note or Kellex could easily fill that up as well.
Definitely.
But also keep your eye on Axiom as well. Axiom is another tank player that a lot of the caster talent is saying watch out for, and especially with this whole Gamsu change, this is a point for him to really step up and make a name for himself.
And this is what confuses me about it, though, is that as hard as I looked, I could not find what Gamsu was traded for. Every article was like, Gamsu traded to Shanghai, and no one could tell me what for.
We know that they needed a new main tank.
Right.
Shanghai made it like bandits in this trade. Oh, let me just say that.
That's what I mean. As far as I can tell, the only thing that I can figure is that he was traded for cash considerations. He must have been traded for a buyout fee or something to that effect, because I can't find any Shanghai player that went to Boston.
I have to wonder if the league somehow stepped in and brokered this fashion.
If Shanghai says they want to come in and buy his contract, and the value, you know, they overvalue his contract and they'll pay you more for him, yeah, you can still do that.
All right. Well, we got to leave it right there. We want to hear from you. How excited are you for Overwatch League Season 2? And now that it's here, do you feel complete again? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we ask our social media followers who their favorite Black esports or gaming personality is. We'll get your responses and share our own to wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll sit down with Alex Varga to find out about the next major Smash Brothers Ultimate Tournament, Frostbite 2019. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio, CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network and BPodStudios.com. For more great listening options, like If You Give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books, and Nerd Radio for everything from sci-fi to wrestling to all things nerdy in between, go to BPodStudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. Joining us now is Alex Varga. He's the event coordinator for the upcoming Frostbite 2019. Alex, welcome to Checkpoint XP.
Hey guys, glad to be here.
So can you give us a brief history of Frostbite and how this year has changed from those events in the past?
Well, I think like all fighting game community Smash Brothers kind of events, they all start, well, ours, we started in a youth center in Ann Arbor, whereas others start in basements or garages or card stores. And over the last few years, as esports started to take hold, we started moving from the basements to the convention centers, and now I'm basically running a convention, whereas I used to be just running a couple hundred-person bracket. So it's been a wild experience over these last 4 years, and we're looking towards our biggest year yet.
Yeah, now speaking of the biggest year, yeah, Smash Ultimate dropped late last year, starting off 2019 in a huge way. How has that reshaped how you guys plan Frostbite 2019?
Well, you can't really predict everything, and I think my metrics were going strong because we had one of the strongest Smash 4 events of the year, broke a lot of records and whatnot, and then Smash Ultimate came out, and then I felt embarrassed to show those metrics to people because locals were getting numbers that we had or better. So, and we were a super major, as they call it. So I've had to adapt and try to let everybody know that, hey, like, going to be a completely different beast this time of year. We just started the global rankings with Genesis. I was just there this past weekend in Oakland, where we had over 2,000 entrants in Ultimate Singles, as well as upwards of 150,000 concurrent viewers on Twitch. It was quite the event. So as we're the next stop on the global rankings, I think that everybody is looking forward to it.
Well, on that note, Genesis 6 really did show that Smash Ultimate has serious drawing power. What kind of turnout have you had to, you know, maybe revise your expectations upward for Frostbite? What kind of draw are you guys expecting?
Well, last year we broke records with having over 900 people in the brackets, and broke records in a very unique way. Frostbite is one of the few events out there that doesn't rely on the FGC or even Melee, other Smash titles, to boost its numbers. It's 100% drawn from the latest iteration of Smash. So everybody's kind of looking forward to us as like this catered Smash experience. And today on social media, I just put out that we broke 950, and last year we had over 900. So we're already beating last year, and we're looking to only go up. I think if you include the entire convention, I think upwards of 1,500 people, spectators, friends, family, and competitors, you could probably expect at least that much.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're sitting down with Alex Varga. He's the event director for Frostbite 2019. And I kind of want to hang on Smash Melee for just a second. So it's been the standard for the Smash community for a long time. Do you think Ultimate will actually end up unseating Melee as the dominant version of competitive Smash?
I think anybody who knows Melee, as somebody who was a Melee TO back in 2003, knows from personal experience, you never really unseat Melee. Those guys have been coming together for so many years. They're the biggest extended family I know of. And it would take a lot, and I mean a lot, to really end that legacy. So I don't see them going anywhere anytime soon. And unfortunately, as an organizer, I don't see CRT TVs going anywhere anytime soon. But if you just look at the numbers of the last weekend's event, Genesis 6, you can see that Ultimate already doubled its singles entrance and pulled in similar, if not better, viewership across the entire weekend. I believe at least on day one and day two, when it was just normal matches and not the finals, we pulled in significantly more for Ultimate than we did on the Melee side. So if you were ever to see the tides turning, this is the start of it, but it's kind of hard to say.
So Nintendo has for a long time turned a blind eye to their esports scene. What are your thoughts on the company becoming more involved with competitive Smash?
Honestly, it's like a dream come true. I think that the Smash community has always wanted something more from Nintendo, and they've kind of done it all themselves. But really, at the end of the day, the community is still going to keep going, and any help that we can get is great. And what they've been doing, like at Genesis 6, you saw full social media campaigns done by their exclusive Nintendo Versus account, and they're partnering with 9 events across North America, not to mention the Nintendo Live and Tokaigi events that are happening in Japan by a completely different branch of the company. It looks like we're finally going to get the support we need, maybe in the next near future, maybe the next 3 to 5 years, but it looks like it's actually changing for the better. It's a long time since 2013 when Nintendo tried to cut off Evo from running Melee.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're sitting down with Alex Varga, event director for Frostbite 2019.
So Detroit is and has been for a long time a big hub in the fighting game community, and especially in the Smash community. Can you talk a little bit about the local response to Frostbite?
Yeah, so I think that a lot of people don't remember or don't realize that Michigan has one of the most dedicated gaming communities out there. You have one of the first national champions of Hearthstone. You have some of the best Smash players and some of the best Smash events in the world here in the Metro Detroit area. You have Pro Tour Hall of Famers, or at least players who place really well, Pro Tour winners, and then Magic the Gathering. You have one of the best League of Legends players and coach coming from the west side of the state. I believe Ninja even came from Michigan, and he's kind of like the face of Twitch and gaming as it is. So it's really cool to have grown up in this area and just have such a thriving local community where, at least in the Smash scene, we have weekly events every week, every day of the week. And what we do to tie in with these super major events, as we call them, at the globally ranked events, is we try to do roads to Frostbite, where we have certain sponsored weeklies that kind of have like a circuit series that give people prizes or certain VIP badges to come to the event for supporting the local scene and bringing it up. Because if the Smash community is about anything, it's about supporting the local community and rising it up all the way up to the tippy top, where Frostbite is lucky enough to have made it after these 4 years.
All right, and lastly, Alex, who are you looking forward to seeing compete? And honestly, what characters are you looking to see compete? And please don't say Peach.
Yeah, I think Peach is one of those characters that's kind of unpopular now, one of the underrepresented characters since Melee. Now is basically on question the top tier pick for this latest game, so that's an interesting shakeup. But for me as the event director, I go to brackets all the time, and you know, I can see a bracket all the time, but the things that make Frostbite different that you won't be able to see anywhere else is we're going to have a casual invitational where you're going to see pro players play with items on, which is something we really haven't seen before, at least in Ultimate for sure we haven't. And we're bringing back the 10v10 North America versus Japan crew battle, where we have a lot of character specialists in a unique format to really exhibit some of the strengths that Smash has that a typical double elimination bracket can't really show off the way that we might like. But if I were to put money on anybody, I think that MKLeo, the genius prodigy from Mexico, is probably one of the best players in the world right now. There's a lot of players who probably underperformed at Genesis, but I would keep my eye on him for sure.
And he just had an incredible showing out at Genesis. By the way, February 22nd through the 24th, Frostbite 2019 out at the Crown Plaza in Detroit. Make sure you come and check it out and watch it online. Alex, thanks so much for your time today here on Checkpoint XP.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was a blast.
Thanks again to Alex for his time. And if you want tickets and information about Frostbite 2019, make sure you visit the website, smash.gg. Listen, we want to hear from you. Share your opinions at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Next, we'll check in with our social media followers. This week, in honor of Black History Month, we ask them who their favorite Black esports or gaming personality was. We'll share our thoughts and get yours coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Robbie, what's this week on the podcast?
With Apex Legends... With Apex Legends storming onto the Battle Royale scene, we have to wonder what it's actually bringing to the genre. Plus, we take a look at the most recent Twitch Rivals tournament.
Subscribe and download free on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and the Westwood One Podcast app from Westwood One Podcast Network. Everyone's listening. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, in honor of Black History Month, we asked who your favorite Black esports or gaming personality is. We'll get to your responses in just a second, but I wanted to ask you guys first who your favorite Black esports or gaming personality is. Joe, why don't we start with you?
Sure. I've got two, actually, that really spring to mind.
Afromo!
You know what? It's not Afromo.
Really?
I fully expected you to go with Afromo.
No, Double Lift got me in the divorce. I'm sorry. they do come from League of Legends backgrounds, though. Black Enola, who does the patch notes that matter for League of Legends, is great. And Sky Williams, who I actually discovered through watching Dunkey back when he did League of Legends content. They are both amazing personalities.
I've actually been going through like the Black Enola backlog, if you will.
If you get to the video where he does the Tribunal voice acted, that is... one of his all-time best videos. It's so funny.
So, for me, we sent a host out on the channel a couple of weeks ago to these guys on Twitch, and I actually didn't know that they were operating on Twitch. This definitely puts them into the category of being gaming personalities. Totally. But the way that I found out about this crew is they do some of the best hip-hop album reviews on YouTube. Dead End Hip Hop, they now have a whole arm and a division of their content called Dead End Gaming. They stream every Tuesday on Twitch, and I caught their show last week, and I really genuinely enjoyed the discussions that they're having over there. I got to use this opportunity to shout them out and to recommend heavily everyone go check them out. Again, Dead End Gaming. Robbie, what about you?
I'm going to go a little bit more mainstream. This might not surprise you guys, but with it being Overwatch League week and with the fact that he's been moved to hopefully a more permanent role on the desk, I'm going to say Malik, especially considering last year during the All-Star game that he had the jib to walk out with a controller.
With a controller.
With the controller. I forgot about
the
that.
The Tupac of the DualShock.
Oh, my God.
Malik. That's funny.
That's pretty good. That's
I forgot
good.
About that. Norris, what about you, man?
Well, definitely it's going to come out of the FGC. So you got guys, Sonic Fox, obviously.
Sonic Fox should be everybody's favorites.
But other guys like Tasty Steve, Chris Matrix, who've been doing this for a long time. And really, when I hear and I want to hear FGC stuff, like Tasty Steve's voice and his just excitableness just pops into my mind instantly. So he's always somebody who comes to my mind when it comes to, esports and gaming and being black in the space. So I really dig those guys as well.
Right on. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Jack Sports Radio 1010 XL in Jacksonville and ESPN Radio 99.3 in Fort Myers, Florida. We're currently going through our weekly social media question, asking you guys who your favorite black esports or video game personality is. Before we get to your responses, though, I got to ask Voice of the People, Sarah, who is your favorite black esports personality or video game personality?
You mean besides Norris over here?
Yes. Besides Norris.
That's such a cop-out answer.
No, it's hard to not notice Sonic Fox just because even though if I don't watch all of his stuff, I just remember him on Game Awards making all of the front row white-collar, white businessmen super uncomfortable.
That's true. It did.
The visceral discomfort on everyone's face was so good.
That was worth it.
Definitely. All right, let's take a look at some of your responses coming in from social media.
Over on Twitter, we have Ryoku, who says, "For me, it would have to be Sly. He's a cool guy and fun to hang out with. It was thanks to him that I got into series like SMT and Persona through watching his streams on Twitch."
Well, listen, we've had Sly here on the show. He's been a guest on this program right around the time that Persona 5 came out, because, of course, there is no one more well-versed in Persona than Sly, a.k.a. Gray Fox. You should give his Twitch channel a follow.
Long-time friend of the show.
Great guy. Met him for the first time out in Vegas in 2014. Awesome dude. I think the world of him.
Infinite Drill Works gives the list of Smug the Beast, Lil Majin, Black Enola, and Sonic Fox are all wonderful people who do awesome things.
Yeah, Smug and Lil Majin in particular are like guys who are huge personalities in the FGC world, especially Smug. Just watching him is a show by itself. He's always in the mix, and he's always, in the background doing something crazy. So Smug is also a good one.
By the way, because I'm blanking on their names right now, but honorable mention to the trio of casters who were casting the very end of the Genesis 6.
Genesis, yes.
Those were some of my favorite moments of the entire tournament, especially when they weren't even talking about the tournament.
FGC casting, all the
absolutely
casting.
It is
so good,
hands down.
Anthony says, "Definitely King Nappy, rambunctious, funny, and entertaining. Been watching him for years."
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people also say King Nappy too. So that's another person that I want to get more into based off this question. So I dig it.
David says, "I'm not as savvy to esports as the rest of you guys, but for me, it is definitely D1. Competitive Smash doesn't feel the same without him calling the matches."
See, and that's why
he was, and I think he was in that. He was in that. Yeah, I gotta echo that because like that was so magnetic. Those calls were so great. You know, it's easily as iconic as any of Yipes's calls. Mm-hmm. You know, there really is something very special about the DNA of particularly those three casters working together.
Edison that says he likes Afromoo. I watched him back when I was into League of Legends, and when he and Double Lift were the dynamic duo. Rush Hour is so much fun to watch. It's also seems like a really cool dude.
Yeah. That's the thing. Is that, first of all, yes, it was the Rush Hour squad, which was great. But yeah, that's the problem. Is when that divorce happened, all the kids got put on one side or the other. So,
well, I am firmly in Afromoo's camp, so you can stay over there with your Double Lift.
Oh, you are the false 100 Thieves fan in there. Oh,
that's true.
I am the full 100 Thieves fan. They're my team.
Yeah, 1 to Team Liquid, 1 to 100 Thieves.
By the way, I really want to shout out all of you guys who responded to this by tagging your favorite Black Esports personality. That was really special to see. And you know what, Norris, I got to agree with you. This has exposed me to a lot of new people that I'm definitely going to be following. One more.
Well, then I have to share how it used to be Morgan Freeman lists Norris because of the hair, the sweaters, and the girlfriend, and he wishes that you were his son.
Okay.
And if I understand it correctly, Morgan Freeman, or used to be Morgan Freeman, is actually old enough to be your father. So.
He is.
Well,
he is.
I guess that makes it less creepy, I guess.
Sort of. All right, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there, but make sure you follow us over on social media so you can make your voice heard on next week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.